there's a reason. When I started the ministry, I had a 12-point font. Now I'm at a 16-point. You've got to keep life simple for yourself, and I'm going to feel seasick before too long. Last time we were with you and persecuting you with my face was in May 2019. And if you had told us then what was going to happen to our world in the next year, we would all think that you're smoking something. What an incredible gap of time has happened between our visits now. It's absolutely amazing, yeah. Now, I've been married to this young lady for a few years. We got married at the same church, and you'll actually see our smiling faces in that church later on today, if you stay awake. Yeah, we got married 39 years ago, and next year we got our 40th coming up. I hope you don't forget. You got to do something special for me. She doesn't know what's going on in the back of my head. Two children, Ryan and Eric. Ryan is married to Lizzie. They're down in Virginia in the Shenandoah Valley. Two grandchildren, Emma and Marjorie. Emma is 3 years old. And Marjorie is not quite a year old. She's one. Okay, that's why I have a wife. She remembers those things. I have it written on my calendar, and I don't have my calendar with me. And our youngest but tallest son is in King of Prussia, and we're actually staying with him at the moment in his bachelor's pad. I'm thrilled to come here today and to have a shirt that looks like it's been ironed. Yeah. But thank you for your support and prayers. You've been supporting us since, we figure, 91, somewhere around about there. We came in here one Sunday evening and just, there was just, as Pastor Boyd used to say, we just hit it off. And when some other people came in, they just didn't hit it off. We did, and you've been supporting us since then. It's been a pleasure to be part of your church family since then. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, for the message this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you go to the back of your Bible, you'll find the index. Revelation and a couple of Johns, a Jude, Johns, and then 2 Peter, then 1 Peter. So go right to the back and come forward if you're not familiar with where it is. Or look in the index right at the front. 1 Peter chapter 5. The title of my message this morning is, Are You Being Swallowed Up? Are You Being Swallowed Up? Now, if you can't understand what I'm saying, tough luck. No, if you can't understand what I'm saying, please put your hand in the air, and I will try and speak more slowly. But then we won't go home for lunch. Okay, I want to look at a well-known verse today. It's really well-known. It's going to link to our presentation in an obtuse way, and it'll actually link into one of the songs we sang. And I didn't know that was going to happen. So the Lord is doing something together today, putting it together. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. Our text is just verse 8. Likewise, you younger people. That's very appropriate for the audience I'm looking at. We're all young people at heart, aren't we? And some of them actually are young. Okay. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And our text for today. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to be made devour. So the first thing. Father, as we look at this passage today, it's well known. Speak to our heart, please. Encourage us, challenge us, help us to learn a little bit more about your word because of our time together this morning. And Lord, as always, if there's someone in the room that doesn't yet know that Jesus Christ went to the cross for them to pay the penalty of their sin, we pray that today they might understand that. he has paid fully for their sin. He died, he was buried, proving he was dead. And then he rose again, victorious over sin and death in the grave. And he now offers to each of us who will believe eternal life. I pray that today would be the day of salvation for anyone in the room who doesn't believe. But for those of us who are believers, please encourage our hearts and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by looking at some of the word meanings in this passage. The first one is the word sober. It has the idea of being well-balanced, self-controlled, exercising self-restraint. You've got to understand, that's a challenge to me. I've got a sense of humor that can get me in a lot of trouble. And when I come back to America, there's a list of 5 pages long of things I cannot say while I'm in this country, because I will offend someone. And I enjoy offending. So I have to be sober. I have to be under self-control while I'm doing it. Vigilant or alert is another word. The idea of being in constant readiness, being on the alert, keeping your eyes open. The word adversary means accuser. One who brings a charge in a lawsuit. But it also has the idea of one who is continuously antagonistic. In English, antagonistic to another. An enemy, an opponent. We think of them on the football field at the moment, at that time of the year. Those are adversaries, but this has the legal aspects to it a little bit more. Then one other word, devour. The word literally means drink down or swallow. It's used of the dry earth drinking up water. Or of animals, like a fish, when it swallowed Jonah. It swallowed and drank down Jonah. That's the word that's being used. Okay, that's some word meanings. The 3 verses before our text contain several commands. Verse 8 also contains some commands. These commands all relate to submission to our mighty God and humility, which we are to express by constantly casting all our cares onto Him. Our worries under Him. We are to live in a state of prayerful dependence on Him. We're not trying to live in our own strength, but in His strength. And that is possibly our greatest challenge. When you're younger, you're strong. You think you can do it. You can handle anything. But you're doing it. When you get older, you say, Lord, help me, because I can't do this. And that's when you finally start surrendering to the Lord and letting Him get a hold of using you. Have you ever found that in your life? I have a young man in ministry that was helping, and he could do everything in his own strength. And I was like, if you would just shut up and listen for 5 seconds, you're causing the problem because you're doing it yourself. Let the Lord work through you, and things will start changing. And I'm pointing the fingers of myself, because when I was young in ministry, that was my problem. So this is a huge challenge for all of us. He will give us His strength if we'll let Him. Now, I don't care how old you are, He will give you His strength. I'm saying that because it's beginning to become more relevant to me now as I forget what I'm talking about. Does anyone know where I am? In verse 8, there's a switch of thought. Peter commands self-restraint, self-control. Now, I immediately think of people who are drunk. We were working in Kanana in the township on the Friday of payday weekend at the end of the month. You'll see a lot of people walking around on Sunday morning like this. What's controlling them? Alcohol. They got sloshed the night before. And it's saying to us, don't be like that, where something outside of you is controlling you in a negative way. We need to be alert Our minds must always be focused on the dangers life presents. When I was in the army many years ago, we went over the border into another country. And I said to the guys, I was with the six of us, I was one of them. What do we do about guard duty? They said, we don't do guard duty. We're all awake the whole night. So in other words, you're sleeping on the ground. It's not 100% comfortable. If you would come to, you stay awake for 15 minutes to listen. Any abnormal sound, you then nudge the guy next to you. We may have to get up and run. You're constantly alert the whole night. And yet you're relaxed. Now you say, that's not possible. Yes, it is. How many of you are mothers in this room? And you can remember that you were. At night, when you're sleeping, you hear the slightest sound from your child, and you know, is that a good sound or a bad sound? What does dad do? But if dad hears that sound, instantly alert, because that's an intruder coming from escaping from a prison nearby. We listen for different sounds. But we're awake, and yet we're asleep. We're alert. That's what he's asking us to do. Keep your ears and eyes alert at all times is the challenge he's putting in front of us. And be controlled enough that when a threat or an attack comes, you'll be able to respond. The drunk who's not controlled by anything positive is not able to respond. They just become victims. Yep. The reason we must do this is we have an enemy who's looking to bring us down, and that enemy is the devil. How does the devil behave? Well, the passage makes a comparison. It tells us he's like a roaring lion. Now, do you see the connection to the song? I'm looking there because that's where I was looking. The devil is not a lion. But he's being compared with an aspect of the lion's characteristic behavior. And I've often wondered what this is all about, so I did some research. First, the lion being compared to is an Asiatic, not an African lion. I didn't know there were two types of lions. I always thought there was only one. We own them in Africa. The Asiatic lions are smaller, they have a thicker coat, and a longer tail. None did the tail have any connection to the devil. But as far as I can work out, the Asiatic lion is now extinct. Back in the Old Testament times, they would hide in forests, and while the shepherd was watching the flock by night, they would come in and attack and grab one of the flock to take it off and eat it, even while that shepherd was there guarding. That was typical behavior, and the Old Testament's full of stories like that. When it talks about lions. The lion is known for his strength, his courage, and his ferocity. Now, you ready for something that will blow your mind? You know in the movies they've got that lion's roar? It's a beautiful sound, especially if you've got a nice sound system and it just reverberates around the room. You want to hear that in the bush. It can be heard 5 miles away. That's how far the sound carries. If you were to go to a rock concert, 114 decibels at the front. That's the sound he's producing. That's how loud a lion is. Yeah. The roar is associated with territorial behavior. It's a demonstration of power used to warn other lion tribes. This is my neighborhood. You know the 5 mile circle around it? That's my neighborhood. Don't come in here. I'll chew you up. Other animals know there's a lion on duty in our neighborhood. And they kind of work out which direction they move another way. It lets the other animals know, I am the king of the bush. Not the jungle, we don't have jungle in Africa. You have it yet. That's how it feels to me. Sometimes it's used to express anger and to say, I'm dangerous, watch out. All the toothless lions, now I know that no one in this room is toothless. Amazing how they disappear as you get older, isn't it? They will be unable to hunt. So what they'll do is they'll go off and make noises over here while the hunting pack is over here. They get the wrong side of the animals in front of hunt, and they start roaring to get the animals to run away into the ambush with the younger hunting animals. When they're hunting, they do not make noise. They communicate with each other with quiet grunts. I often say the animal say something. I said, "Did you grunt?" Because I'm thinking, you know, did I mishear? Did you make a sound? Was that a sound I was meant to have understood and known the meaning of? I said, "No, I just cleared my throat." Okay, fine. I just want to know what's the problem. But the animals will grunt to each other very quietly when they're close to each other to pass on signal, but they don't roar. That's the bit that's confused me about the past few years. Why on earth is the devil roaming around like a roaring lion when the lions don't roar when they're running from hunting? I don't get it. All right, let's draw some conclusions from what we've seen, and you've actually got all the answers in front of you. Satan wants to swallow us up, to take our testimony out of play. Our testimony has tremendous influence in the world. If he can destroy our testimony, he's taken our influence away. He's swallowed our testimony up. And that's what he's trying to do. He wants to spiritually defeat our testimony. One of the saddest things in the ministry is when you hear of a pastor that is messed up, and that it's also a simple taken one. The devil's quite excited. Why the roar, though? Why does he roar in this passage? He's sending out a message. Guys, you're on my territory. I'm the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. You're on my territory. You're away from home. He wants us to live in fear of him and to do nothing for the Lord. He wants us hesitating before we do something that's right, because then he's won. In missions, he wants us to stay home. In evangelism, he wants us not to cross the street, not to talk to a stranger. By the way, just for free, what is the first word in evangelism? No. You ready? This is going to blow your minds. You ready for it? Hello. My name's Alan. See, we've just started evangelism. That's how you start evangelism. You start conversation. Yes, go is the first word in the Great Commission. When you're doing good, have conversations with people. That's what it's all about. Have a conversation. You never know what may come. Yeah. Okay. He wants us to hesitate. We were walking yesterday afternoon. My son walked us some 300 miles on the Wissahickon Trail, and my legs are killing me. I noticed the difference between South Africa and America. That was Philly, so it doesn't really count. No one would look at each other. They wouldn't greet each other. In South Africa, morning, every single walker you see, you greet. We're a greeting culture, so we don't think anything of it. Sometimes we stop and have long chats. Yesterday, it's like... Sorry, I'm going too long. He doesn't want us boldly going into his territory. He wants us to stay locked up, in a lockdown. Like COVID, where we don't leave the house because we're scared stiff, or like that should we go. But we mustn't hesitate. The ultimate comparison that's going on in this passage, though, is that he wants us to listen to his temptations, his decoys, so we will sin and destroy our testimony. He wants us listening to that. He wants to advertise loudly the sin we could be doing. You guys, by going to church, are missing out on doing this. I want you to know about that. That's the sort of way it's done. Not in that point-blank way, but that's the ultimate analysis. He wants us to stop submitting to God rather he wants us to turn aside to the decoys that he's putting in front of us to sidetrack us from moving forward. That's the devil's goal. That's why he's walking around like a roaring lion. He wants us constantly distracted from our priorities. Now, when we come back from overseas, we're in a third world culture, we have a different lifestyle. We come back here, we see how busy people are in this culture. And I look at it from my point of view, and I'm not saying I'm right. I see the decoys that are working brilliantly and keeping people distracted. It's amazing. But I'm not going to judge anyone. I'm just saying that's how it looks to me. I could be 100% wrong. Today, the call is to be alert, self-controlled, constantly talking with the Lord, but alert to the enemy. Not afraid of the enemy. Respectful. Living in obedience to the Lord. Pushing into enemy territory by our presence and testimony. I gave you the illustration when I was in the army when we were going in the country next door. We were pushing into enemy territory. And one of our fears was that 200 of the host army could come after the six of us. And we would have big trouble. But we were going in there to take the fight to them instead of them bringing it to us. That's the way you do it. And we are the soldiers. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a very simple passage, but so profound. Pray that we would be alert and constantly pushing into enemy territory to get the gospel out.